Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we get into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this word, Father. Now, Father, I'm asking that you would have each and every one of us to receive the truth, Father, of this word, so that we cannot be deceived by man. Let our teaching be from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 13. And it's a short chapter. It's only 14 verses in. But it's got some good things. So, as we begin here, with verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. You know, he starts out there by let every soul be subject. The subjection to the government is the obligation of all mankind, not just Christians. It is not optional, but an absolute necessity. The higher powers are established by God. Now, you see, our government leaders should be God-loving and God-serving people. But we, as mankind, put the wrong people in. We didn't get involved as we should have to see that those leaders were people that believed in Almighty God and the Word of God. Now, hearing verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. All right, this damnation, which means judgment. The word used for that in Hebrew or Greek is karma. K-R-I-M-A. Now, this is not a reference to eternal judgment, but it's still a judgment by God because God has delegated authority to human government. Now, you see here again, letting you and I know God is supposed to be in control of our government. And the way he does that is through mankind, just like he does everything else today, is through mankind. Now, three. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the saint. Four, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now when we look at verses 3 and 4, the minister of God to thee for good, the purpose of human government is to uphold. Now let's do this. It's to uphold the good and punish the evil. Right and wrong to determine by the state. The Christian citizen is to fear and obey the government. As long as the government does not demand citizens to violate God's word. See, we are to obey the government until it violates the word of God. And we've just been through a lot of that. Now, government officials hold office by virtue of God. Well, should be. But you see, we didn't step in and put the right ones in. Because most of our churches has told mankind, as a Christian, you're not supposed to dabble in politics. That's not true. Now, the government official holds off by virtue of God's appointment and are primarily the servants of God in their office. The political leader is to actively oppose the good. And the sword is a symbol representing the authority given to government to protect its citizens by punishing those who do what is not determined it has determined to is wrong. It is important for Christians to be actively involved in government. You hear that? It is important for Christians to be actively involved in government so that the government's values are consistent with the Word of God. You see, that's the only way our government is there by the the glory of God is those need to be within their runner that needed to be put in there by the children of God. Still the children of God sitting back and letting these that are filled with evil be put into office. And that's why today we are seeing here in our land the worst this land has seen since its beginning. I think about it. You see, we would not listen to the word of God. We let man tell us Christians ain't supposed to be dabbling in politics. Well, we're supposed to put those in that are controlled by God so that we have a government that is for God and for the people. Now, verse 5. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. You see, that's why we pay taxes and all. It tells us to pay tribute to our government leaders so they can be paid and all, because they are supposed to be watching out for you and I in a godly way. That's not what we've got today. And why? You see, we can't blame God for that. We set back and did not put in office those that belong to God to head the offices of our government. And we sure got a mess, didn't we? Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. You see, owe no man anything. Paul is not setting down the physical policy of paying only cash for everything, but he's talking about the Christian social responsibility of not acting in such a way toward his fellow man that he incurs any debt other than to love it. This debt is never paid. In doing this, the believer will actually perform the righteousness to which the law could only point. See, he wasn't talking about that not owing no man anything financially. Here again, we're talking about the spiritual side of that. And we're not to do things to cause us to owe things to others other than to love them. So they have nothing to hold over us to cause us to pick up evil and sin. Now, 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, here in 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. 11. And that knowing this time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. You know, he uses here to wake out of sleep means insensitivity to the demands of Christ on the Christian's life. Now is our salvation near. Coming of Christ to deliver us from the sinful world grows nearer every day. The night is the time while Christ is out of the world and the world has been delivered into the control of the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. The day is a reference to the time when Christ will return and establish his reign of righteousness. You see, that's coming. And we're a way closer than what mankind today really believes or even wants to believe. Things can happen at any time. Now, 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're not that lust. We're to make provision for the flesh. One should not seek opportunity to satisfy the deep-seated desires of the sin nature, but should seek occasion to manifest works that are consistent with the new life in Christ. Because you see, if you are truly a born-again child of God, you have left the old nature of sin, and you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ and a new life. And you're to walk in that new life, not go back and forth, but continue to walk in your new life. And the main way of doing that is by his word. And you cannot know what that is unless you study his word and put quite a bit of your time in this word each and every day. We're told this in the word of God, to study his word daily. We've been over it several times in coming this far in the New Testament. And we really just getting started in the New Testament. We went through the four Gospels, but you see, that's not really the New Testament. Now, most all your four Gospels pertain to the coming of the New Testament and ways and all that will be in the New Testament. But the New Testament really didn't start until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to be with mankind in order to give him the power, the authority, the knowledge, and the wisdom to be able to walk as God wants him to walk. And to really understand this word of Almighty God. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand this word. And we're also told that. Now, we have just finished with chapter 13. Now, chapter 14, it's got 23 verses. I know it's a little early, but I think we'll stop a little early and not get into 14 till this evening at 6 p.m. But like I say, it's got 23 verses. And there's quite a bit in it also. And so we're going to need time to really... You see, this is the thing about the study of God's Word. Yes, I could read 14 and be done, you know, in plenty of time. But that don't let us really see what it's saying. That's why we are told to study the Word of God. Because that is the way we find out. When we read a verse, we need the time for the Holy Spirit to reveal the meaning that is there, that God wants you and I to receive and have. Now, I am going to give you an example. Of what I'm talking about. I'm going to read the first three verses of chapter 14. I'm just going to read it. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubt the disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. How much do you get out of that? What all was it telling you? We'll find out this evening. I want you to remember about this reading this morning. But then this evening, we'll find out exactly what it said. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for the word. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the times we can come together to share in your word. Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem. I pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, I pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, help us. Father, to remove those evil ones from office that has brought this evil ways upon this land and its people, that has moved us so far away from God, and to replace them with those that work for you, Father, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, that loves your church, your people, and this nation, and will work with us to bring this nation to repentance, and to help us to put our government back upon the foundation for which it was founded, that being your word, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in my heart. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and Tom Jacob, James Taylor, my wife, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Courtney and Shane, Sue Branson, Gerald and Debbie, myself, Alex Stone, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that they all will walk closer with the Lord. And as we separate now for the day, Father, keep us all in health. Keep us safe through this day. Bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. Father, and back into your hands. This is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Have a great day.